You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul.
And my name is Rob, and this is episode 652. Thanks for hanging out with us, guys. We really do appreciate it. And we forgot to give a membership away.
Dang it, Rob. It's all your fault.
It is all my fault.
I'm just kidding. It's not all your fault.
I'll take the responsibility. Bow my head in shame.
The blame game is not a good thing to do.
That's true. Anyway. Nobody wins.
Nobody wins except for the winner of this free membership. So what does this include, Rob? For everyone out there listening, if you ask a question, this is one of the benefits. So you ask a question, what is this person getting?
Well, number one, this person is getting a full year's membership into the Drone U community.
How much does that cost?
Well, right now, a year of Drone U is about $470.
That is not that expensive to have 25 different classes.
I know.
Holy cow. That is so cheap. All right.
That is an annual membership, which if you buy annually, by the way, since we're talking about it, you get a couple of months off. That's why that happens that way. But anyways, yeah, he gets access to all the courses that we have in there. He gets access to future stuff that we're going to do right over the next year, future classes that are coming, webinars that we're going to be having eventually. Obviously, he gets plugged into the community. He gets plugged into the critique group where he can put anything that he works up, his videography work, his images, he can put those in that community. People will go in and talk about that, let him know what they think he did well, what they think he could improve. He gets access to our marketplace where he can buy and sell equipment from people that he can trust. Lots of really great stuff in there. Generally speaking, members, and really this is out of necessity, right? There's only so much time in my day, in Paul's day, in Tim's day, in any of our instructors' day. And so members obviously get the most access to the time that we do have to give. And I think that's a lot of value there as well.
Now, is it true that we're going to be launching a new level of membership here soon?
It's something that we're talking about, and I think it will happen, yes.
And what does that look like?
Well, that's just going to be a deeper level of content that people are going to be able to build a business around. I mean, it's going to...
I've heard you say it's like a business in a box.
Well, yes. That's
holy,
the intent.
Holy.
Here's the thing. And we have gotten some feedback, Paul, honestly, from people that have taken some courses from other entities that are doing things similar to what we're doing. And certainly I'm not the one that's going to bring up those names, but we've just heard some feedback that says it was just really shallow. Not really anything different from what I learned in my high school business class. And we just want to go deeper, which means it takes longer, especially for me, as Paul's tired of waiting for this, probably more tired of it than anybody.
You need to start. I'm kidding.
But we want it to be really good. We want to talk about things like what state should you incorporate in? Should you incorporate? What kind of entity should you choose? What kind of bookkeeping system should you use? What are you going to do for marketing?
Should you start your company what industry before you get married or after?
I mean... Wow.
Just kidding.
How do you evaluate what your equipment needs are going to be, and how are you going to pay for those? And how do you make sure that you have the money available to pay for those in a year from now? And how are you going to be able to decide if you should buy new equipment? When do you buy it? When do you not? When do you decide that what you have is just fine? There's a lot of things to go into. One of the most important things that I'm really excited about is how do you use virtual people, be it editors, be it administrative help. And we're going to tell people, we're going to teach people, because that is an art form. And we've learned over years of doing this. Tim's going to be really involved in that, about how to go find those kinds of folks, because it's not easy. You don't just hop on Odesk, put something out there and think you're going to get the perfect person. There are ways to make sure that you get the perfect person. there's a system to that. There are things to look for.
You know this. You know how I look at business after working with you. And by the way, this just goes to the fact that experience. Albert Einstein, the only wisdom gained is through experience. And I think this is why you're teaching the business course, because you have had an experienced business that has gone through the trials and tribulations of market fluctuations. And I'm talking about the mortgage company.
Right.
And you went through the biggest problem of our economic history, at least in my lifetime, and made it through the other side. And it was caused by subprime interest. So
yeah.
Or subprime loans.
Right.
So I think it says a lot, but there is just so many things I could say about business. And I think that people really need to understand business in a nutshell is it's not just marketing. It's not just having a website. It's not about legalese. It's about creating systematic systems that can be repeated over and over and over so that you can scale your company.
Absolutely.
So if one day you want to sell your company, no one is going to buy your company if you are the sole person in your business. If you are like the guy and the business doesn't run without you, no one's going to buy your business.
Right.
So if you are really, if that is your end game goal, you've got to really consider that.
Oh man. And I would love to talk about that in the business class. We might create a module for that down the road, but what's cool about that is that we actually have invested in some startups ourselves. So we've also had that perspective.
There's more Pauls out there?
No. but we've invested in, so we've seen it as from an investor standpoint as well. And we've listened to the CEO, et cetera, of the companies that we've invested in. A couple of them are local. And we've seen, because they're setting themselves up to be acquired. And the things that they're learning from their consultants that are helping them is really fascinating. I would love to pass on some of that stuff as well for anybody out there that's thinking in those terms, because it is possible.
Okay. Now, before we go and rant anymore, who is winning the free annual membership?
You mean we didn't say that?
No.
It is going to be. It is not going to be. It's Daniel in Nashville.
Daniel.
That's right. So thank you for sending in a question, Daniel. I think he actually might have sent in a couple, which actually helps your odds. Obviously, the more you send, the more that it gets on the air, the more chances you have to win. So anyways, Daniel in Nashville, email me support@thedroneu.com. I will then.
You can't just be any Daniel from Nashville either. We know where the questions came
from.
Well,
I was just going to say, we'll cross check the email that we have.
Oh, right? looking.
So we're on to you guys.
Oh, man.
Anyways, no, very excited to give this to Daniel, and hopefully we hear from him very, very soon. And if we do, then we'll get you all set up.
Now let's get to the question, which is what we're here to talk about, which is some more advanced topics on mapping. Let's go ahead and play that question straight from the Philippines.
Hey, Paul. Hey, Rob. Good job on the podcasts and the videos. I've been watching a lot on YouTube. I think it's the best one out there. My name is JP Hernandez from the Philippines. I've been flying drones for almost a year, in and out, not straight. I've recently went into real estate, and I've been using it to map out the properties that I have for sale. I've been using Drone Deploy. It's been good so far. I've been practicing with it, and now I'm planning to charge people. What kind of pricing do you think should I be doing? And I'm thinking of upgrading from the P3 Advanced to the Inspire 2. Is that overkill for mapping? Or the P4 Pro is good enough? And besides Drone Deploy, what else should I have? Like, should I have a GPS, something thingy-majiggy to help me, you know, find the long lat of the property? Should I have a binocular to see the obstacles maybe in the property that I'm flying over? Any help, any advice to become a very good mapper, very professional one, and probably make a living out of it, this will be much appreciated. Keep up the good work, guys. I recently became a member. It's how much I believe on what you guys are doing. Thank you again, and have a nice day.
I love hearing that. I believe in what you guys are doing. Thank you.
Indeed.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
And I have to say, if you guys have been listening kind of consistently, you know I've been working on a new mapping class that we landed a very substantial contract. I'm actually headed down there Well, once this airs, it'll be the last week, but I'm headed down for a meeting to actually go solidify and continue our contract. Very excited about that. But we've actually been doing an advanced mapping course. Actually, I've been calling it advanced mapping course, but we're going to do an intermediate mapping course because in our advanced course, we're going to be using LiDAR. So we're going to take it to another level once we're done with this. But actually, if you use a very systematic acquisition plan, you can get extremely good data from the drone. And I will say that most of the information that is out there is not very deep. Like, a lot of people are talking about just straight nadir maps, which Drone Deploy, I believe, is nadir maps. Mm-hmm. Some people are doing cross-hatching maps, which is great. Some people are doing 70-degree cross-hatching maps, which is, again, really good. But you've got to take it to another level. So before I go into that, I'm also going to talk about part of his question is, what drone should I be using for mapping? And this answer is very, very easy because I have dealt with so many problems with mapping. So I've been trying to use the Inspire 2 for mapping, and I have used the Phantom 4 Pro and I've used a couple other things. First of all, having the highest quality sensor is definitely a good idea, but that does not mean that the X5S on either the Inspire 1 or the Inspire 2 is a good option because a lot of people are having focus problems when they're mapping with those drones. So Inspire 2 is also not the drone that you want because you cannot do point of interest shots, which are orbits, which are critical to doing good maps. And all of this information is in our class. We've been taking actually 2 weeks to record this class now because the level and depth of information is just absolutely astounding, but it's a systematic process for acquiring data. This has taken us literally 4 months to master. And we have mastered it at this point. I mean, like, we're getting...
It's really exciting.
We're getting steel nets to show up in our maps inside of these stadiums, things that people have never done before. And we're also getting detail and clarity behind the nets. Right. And again, never been done before. So it's really interesting. And by the way, a lot of different people have been helping out on this. And some people are upset that we're not working with them. And in all honesty, there are just certain things that cause that outcome. But also, we've been learning ourselves. And I think for people to just be throwing out numbers on what they can do and how they can help us process and all that is a little naive because as we've been learning, this is a very intense and difficult project that we're working on.
And around every corner, around every turn is a new twist as far as how to make it happen.
True.
Right? What equipment to use, just what the setup needs to be. It's been pretty amazing to watch it come together, watch you guys do this.
No, I agree. And so he asked, what is the best drone for mapping? In my humble opinion, is the Phantom 4 Pro. The Phantom 4 Advanced can be done for even cheaper because it's got the higher sensor. It's got point of interest, which the Inspire 2 doesn't have. And no, I'm not updating my drone from the latest firmware because, well, for a multitude of reasons, of which I'm not going to get in here on the podcast, but I do talk about in the class itself.
So I'm curious, and I think this would bring some value, the process of getting to the knowledge that the Phantom 4 Pro was the best, because I'm sure when you first started, you're just automatically thinking the Inspire 1 or the Inspire 2, right?
Oh, I was instantly thinking. So when we had to go map Coors Field, for example, I thought the Inspire 2 was the answer to the problem. Then we realized the issue with DJI's new geofencing system that cannot be like turned off unless you hack the drone. Possible. But we had a ghost TFR. When I call it a ghost TFR, because there was a TFR the day prior, and there was no TFR for that day.
But it was still live as far as DJI was software was concerned.
Yep. Yeah. So software glitches and errors that are shutting people down on jobs is a very big problem, which is why I think that you should be able to turn that on and off. If you have authorization, you should be able to turn it on and off yourself.
Right.
Now, other people would argue with me about nefarious actors and whatnot, and I understand that, but you could make the process difficult enough and essentially test people in a way that's systematic and formalized to be able to get people live. You know, I know they were having problems at EAA getting drones to fly. Mm-hmm. So, and then John Elliott, Drone U member, showed up with his Phantom 2 and he's like, oh, I got this. And took off. And I was like, yeah, buddy, Drone U elite. Anyway, I'm really excited about that. But what we've learned in mapping is that it's not only about these nadir shots. So when I say nadir, I'm talking about when the camera is straight down or 0 degrees. It's also about orbits, and it's about, I call them angular elevation orbits, which is a very specific term in talking about how to fly the orbits. And again, I could be sitting here for 8 hours telling you every single detail about what needs to be done to get the most accurate maps, to get facades, to get underneath canopies, to get around poles, to do cell phone tower inspections. Like, it's astounding to me the depth of information.
And then what to do with all that.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because, that's a whole nother level of how to make it a usable deliverable.
No, you're 100% right. And in fact, a lot of people are not doing deliverables right either, which is a huge part of this course, because there's not only the visualization of the data, but there's also the ability to measure the data. Mm-hmm. And then even I saw, this is one of the few things that I take issue with SUAS News, who I like SUAS News. Patrick Egan and I have talked since way back when I worked for Unmanned Vehicle University in 2012. Mm-hmm. And He's been a really cool guy to me. And if you know him really well, you know that behind some of the aggressive things that you see in their publication, that he actually is doing it because he really cares.
Right.
And if you know the guy behind the paper, you'll understand that. But one of the things I take up issue with is he posted that in the state of California, aerial mapping, you would need a surveyor's license. And we've been researching this significantly, and it's varying from state to state now. But a couple of caveats I'm seeing is twofold. Number one, if you make a quote unquote map versus making a quote unquote model, number one. Number two, if that model is tied to Google Earth, where it's actually geolocated and geopositioned, in some states that can cause you to get in trouble. But also, the main caveat that I'm learning is that if you are interpreting these maps, so I can make the map and make the model, but hand it over to a surveyor and have him say, this point is accurate, this point is accurate, because I can measure point A to point B, and I can do trig to measure elevation from point A to point B to point C on the Z axis, I will sign off on this. Hmm. You as a pilot can never interpret your maps. You can never, ever, ever make a map and then measure a point in the map and give it to the client and say, this is X.
Unless obviously you are a licensed
surveyor.
Yeah.
Right? And this is also a big issue that what's the guy's name? Derek from
a local company
here. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you cannot map, blah, blah, blah. And I even called them, like, the surveyor licensing group out of the state of New Mexico, and clarified that if you don't interpret the maps, you can make all the aerial maps in the world.
Right.
So, yeah. And again, are you using the maps to actually lay down property lines? If no, you don't need a surveyor's license.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask as far as that particular question is concerned. Doesn't the end use have something,
100%,
a role to play in that whole equation?
100%. Like, if you're talking about doing mapping for real estate and you're measuring, you know, the property lines, you need a surveyor's license. But if you're trying to volumetrically measure how much coal is coming out of a plant, that's not something that you need a surveyor's license for. If I'm over here at Abrazo Homes, who's building a bunch of new houses on Paseo, Brian, you're welcome, and they want to say, you know, I've got 20 loads of dirt left over, and I want to see how much that really is, to see how much money I can make back. Because if I can more accurately measure the material I used versus the material that was projected to be used, mm-hmm. that can help me bid and create more efficient systems and make more money in my construction company.
Sure.
So
in that scenario, a surveyor's license, for example, would not be necessary, is what you're saying.
If he was measuring the amount of sand, yes.
Right. Right.
Yes, 100%.
Correct. So, but obviously property lines, those kinds of things, that's a different story.
Yes.
Interesting.
You really need to look, and what I said, I take issue with, you know, he's saying you've got to be a licensed surveyor in the state of California to do any aerial mapping. And I actually dug through the law, and there was a couple caveats that I saw, that as long as you weren't doing A, B, and C, that you were okay. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend that you talk to the state board of surveying in your state to get that information. It does change from state to state to state, but I also would be as specific as possible, and I would record the phone call, because sometimes, like, for example, this really gets me. You can call some government agencies and they actually specifically state when you get on the phone that you cannot take what the person on the other end of the line is saying as law or as interpreting the law. And it's like, so then why are they answering the phone?
Right.
So that's why I record everything that's important.
Yeah.
And I'll tell people too, I'm like, I'm recording this conversation
Yeah, I guess at that point they could stop talking if they want to.
Yeah, and well, it also causes people to really think about what they're saying.
True, yeah.
And I think that's really important because I've caught some people in some nasty lies and I've never used the material against them. You know how I feel about lawsuits. I'm just not a fan. You know, where do you really spend your energy? And I think that says a lot about who you are and what you're trying to accomplish. But I've caught some people in some really nasty stuff and I've just played it for them and been like, well, you said this. And they're like, no, I did not say that. And I literally pull my phone out and I'm like, hold on, let me put this on speaker really quick. So, and I like catching people and stuff like that because we're held to a higher standard being on the podcast and talking about this information and having to be consistently correct on everything that we say. And when we make mistakes, the next show we talk about it. We're like, look, we screwed up. This is what we said. This is what we should have said. And I think that's important. And I think that's really important for the business world as a whole as well. And by the way, guys, I have learned this the hard way. Do business the right way, treat people the right way, provide consistent value to people, and you never know. In fact, Craig Wheatfeld from Keller Williams, who's setting up the KW deal for us, he was saying, Paul, if I've learned one thing, it's always treat people well. It's always help people out, always provide value, because you never know when, you know, that person is going to come back to you. He's like, I used to be a stockbroker in New York City for a long time. And one of the guys I knew moved out to New Mexico. And he was like, Craig, do you remember me from like whatever company he worked
you
for?
You never know.
You don't. You really
never
don't.
Know. And every honestly, bridge should stay afloat.
Oh gosh, that is a hard lesson I've had to learn. Don't burn those bridges.
That's right.
Don't do it. Ain't nobody got time for that.
That's right. So what are a couple other things that you might mention to JP as he thinks through what he needs to have in place to try to do this mapping?
Well, okay. So we talked about the birds. P4 Pro is definitely hands down the best drone for the money, whether it's aerial photography, mapping, data acquisition. It's just such a phenomenal platform. Even subject tracking. I love that thing because you can put it in tiny places.
Pretty nimble.
Oh, super
it's fast
nimble.
Fast enough.
Yeah, it can fly in ways that the Mavic could never fly just because of the way it's built and the center of gravity. Also, as of right now, there is no good data acquisition map there is no good data acquisition application for mapping because mapping is not just nadir flights. If you're going to get good maps, you've got to do facade flights, angular elevation flights, and that includes a wide array of different types of flight patterns. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it's actually, you know, we talked about site scan and how I want to try it out. One thing that I think that they really have going for them is perimeter scan, but I haven't had the chance to use it. And here's the thing. If you really want to get intelligent and you really want to do stuff, you can learn how to set certain flight paths and program, I believe it's AirWare and Litchi, to do these flights autonomously for you, which is really cool. Is it an intricate level of detail? Yes, it is. Can you hire it out? Yes, you can. So I would say there is no good app. I like to use Maps Made Easy for a couple of reasons. Number one, terrain response. So if I've got a huge grade and I'm trying to map something, for example, this project that we just bid out yesterday with the school, you know, it's a 200-foot difference in elevation just on their property. And you can't fly at 300 feet from the top and then maintain that elevation all the way to the bottom because you're just not going to have an accurate map.
You have to go down with the elevation?
Correct. Terrain response. So that's really important.
Very cool.
Maps Made Easy has that. Maps Made Easy also has a lot of other flight plans that are really important for getting good overlap, good tie points, and the flight paths are very specific. But here's the real kicker. It's reliable. It doesn't crash. I love the new Pix4D mapper because there are certain things that that application has that Maps Made Easy does not have, but the application is prone to crashing. So when you're using that application, make sure you close out every single application that's running in the background, every single one. And by the way, there is still not a good mapping application for orbits. DJI Go 4 is the best. Yeah, not Ground Station Pro, DJI Go 4.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I could sit here and talk for hours about how to map correctly.
I'll ask you one more question that might be helpful to JP and others, and that is equipment that you make sure you have out in the field when you're mapping, other than the drone.
This may sound self-preserving and selfish, but I've learned the most effective use for our landing pads tie points.
Yeah, you had them laid all over that field.
I know.
That stadium,
and
actually.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to get different ones because I may have hurt some grass in some areas. But anyway, I took 15 landing pads with me to that job. And if it weren't for those landing pads, we wouldn't be able to overlay the multiple projects on top of one another.
It's cool. Yeah, who would have thunk? Because when you bought those, or when you ordered all those landing pads, you weren't thinking mapping.
No, I wasn't. Right? But if you're mapping, by the way, our landing pads are cheaper than the Hoodman ones too. At least the Hoodman five-foot ones. Ours are 120 centimeters, so it's about 4 feet. But they float. There's a lot. And if you don't like being on your knees while you're working on your drone out in the field, it kind of helps because it's 9 millimeters thick.
Yeah, it's
rubber.
A little bit of padding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of reasons to have that landing pad. If you want a landing pad, by the way, they are on the website. Just go to thedroneu.com. You can order a landing pad. How much are they? They're like $87 or $90.
$87 plus shipping, basically $97.
Cool. So that's still $20 cheaper than the other one. So that's awesome. And I think it provides more value, which is my goal. Value, 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 value. I want to help you. That is the type of person I love seeing people advance themselves through information. And you know, my vlog starts soon and it's really about this is how you better yourself. And I've done it the hard way and it sucked. And there are parts that I don't like, but this is what worked.
Yep.
So check that out, coming out soon.
Learn from our/Paul's mistakes.
Yeah.
And all of our instructors' mistakes.
I've made
a
lot of them.
That's the idea. Well, everybody has. Cool. Well, thank you very much, JP, for the question. Guys, if you have a question, go to askdroneu.com. Get that in. We love hearing from you. And we haven't said it in a while, but it never stops ringing true. And that is, if you're thinking it, so are a lot of other people. I guarantee you.
Definitely. And if you are still dealing with Hurricane Harvey, please make sure to check out that episode. If you're thinking about going down, there are so many caveats to being a drone pilot down there, and the information is invaluable. By the way, Joshua Baker, DroneU member out of Surfside Beach, Texas. Dude, you rock. 100%. You're the man. Stoked to see you soon, dude. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
My name is Rob.
And you can buy a landing pad at thedroneu.com.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the DroneU.